ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ सो वि कण्टिन्यू ది మైత్రేయి బ్రాహ్మణ ది డైలాగ్ బిట్వీన్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య అండ్ మైత్రేయి ఆర్ ది టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ యాజ్ఞవల్క్య టు మైత్రేయి అంటిల్ ఎస్టర్డే వి డిస్కస్డ్ సమ్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ టీచింగ్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ దట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ దేర్ ఈజ్ నథింగ్ కాల్డ్ లవింగ్ ది నాన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇఫ్ we love, it is the self that we love. If we do not love, then that is called non-self. It is impossible to live without love, because to love and to be loved is inborn within us. Try to understand that. To love and to be loved is inborn, it is universal, and it is unconditional. We want to love every body because it is our nature to love. Why? Because we are the self. Why? Because there is nothing else in this universe excepting the self. Therefore, to love oneself is the most natural thing in this world. So Yajnavalkya was expounding that a wife loving her husband doesn't really love the husband. She only loves the self. But one point we have to understand is the echo coming?
No, my
God. Okay, slightly, reduce slightly. Are you able to hear clearly?
Yes.
Yeah. Come and sit. The self, the true self, knows that there is only self, but nothing excepting the self. Even from a bhakti point of view, where from the world is coming? From God. Therefore, what can it be? Only God. And where is it living?
In God.
Therefore, it can only be God. And where is it going to merge again? In God. Therefore, it cannot be anything else but God. These are the three characteristics of the essence of everything. To understand this point, let me give an illustration. An essence is that without which a thing cannot exist. Take this table. What is the essence of the table?
Wood.
So, if you take away the wood from this table, what remains? But then, we do not see only the wood. We see the wood with nama and rupa. Wood plus nama rupa. This is what makes us distinguish one table from the other table. So, now wood plus nama rupa. What is the essence of this wood plus nama rupa? Wood. How do we know? Take away the nama rupa, break the table, what remains? Take away the wood, what remains? What did you?
The atoms and molecules.
That's what we mean. The essence means that.
Yeah.
That's what we are talking about. So, that without which a thing cannot exist at all, that is its essence. Now, when a wife, and what is a wife? Atman plus Nama Rupa. What is the husband? Atman plus Nama and Rupa. So, what is the essence of the, both the wife and the husband? It is the Atman. So, usually, adhyasa or illusion means that we forget the essence and we focus on the Nama Rupa. So, what is bondage? Thinking that the Nama Rupa is the essence, Nama Rupa is the self, and forgetting the Atma, that is called bondage. In any case, Nama Rupa is temporary. Why? Because it comes out at a particular point of time, it remains for some time, and at some point of time, it goes back. Is it not true? So, if somebody by mistake thinks of the self as the Nama Rupa, that person must come to grief sooner or later. How soon? How soon?
Because then, as long as the Nama Rupa stays, as soon as it goes, it will come to grief.
Yes. And how long does Nama Rupa stay stable? It can change in a second. This is a fact which we should never forget. 1 second is enough. You know, if out of fear, you know, the black hair can turn into white hair. 1 second there could be accident. Somebody may be burned and out of all recognition. Anything can happen. So what Agnivalka was teaching is, nobody wants to love something unstable. Suppose there is a man and he wants to get married to a woman. And the woman, he goes to the woman and says, I love you very much and would you marry me? And she says, yes, I will marry you for 5 seconds, after that I will go away. Will that man marry her? But this is what the illusion we are under, because this body, this mind, constantly telling us that look here, that I will be only with you a fraction of a second. Thereafter we change. You know, we usually don't notice the change unless we are mosquitoes. How long does a mosquito live? Do you know how long a mosquito lives? I think 2 days or 3 days it lives, that's it. By that time it grows, and then a marigold, how long does it stay, marigold plant? 3 months. So, you see, from our standpoint, a banyan tree stays for hundreds of years, but a marigold plant lives only for that much. If anybody says, oh marigold, I expected you to live forever, then what happens? Grief would be the result. So, what is Agnivalka teaching? He is not saying that you do not love. For the simple reason, if somebody says to a loving person, you don't love, will it stop loving? If you tell to a fragrant plant, don't give fragrance, will it stop short of killing it and burning it? So, one's nature cannot be changed. Can you tell to the wood, I wouldn't like you to be wood anymore. Can you change wood into something else? So what Agnivalka is telling is, to love and to be loved is a most natural thing. Now, we want to love. What is it that loves? It is the self which loves. What is it that it really loves? The self. Why did I say that? Because we also discussed, self means ananda. What is it we love? Whatever gives us ananda, that alone we love. And whatever gives ananda, that is called the self. That becomes dear to us. Whatever we love, that becomes dear to us. Whatever becomes dear to all to us, automatically we love it. So love is equivalent to dearness, priya. And what is priya for us? That which gives us happiness. And what is it that gives happiness? It is the self. So what is Yajnavalkya telling to Maitreyi? He is not telling that don't love, stop loving. It is impossible. Telling that you love, you recognize whom you are really loving. Once you recognize, then there is no vicheda. There is no separation because the self has no birth, no death. So let me give you again this example. Here is a table. Let us say we all love this table. Now if we love the table or the part, that part of the table which is non-essential, which is the nama-rupa, sooner or later this our love will become obsolete, dead, because the nama-rupa will disappear. But if we love the wood, then what happens? Permanent, because nobody can destroy the wood. Wood in this sense, self. Then what happens to the wood? Even ordinary example. So suppose this table breaks, then it goes back into the state of wood. You can make any number of tables out of this wood, but you cannot make the self out of nama rupa. So he is correcting us. Even for practical purposes, when we want to love, and we can get joy only by loving the self, otherwise sukha and dukkha will come. So this is another distinction we have to make. What is sukha and dukkha? It is a, what is called a reflection, very pale reflection of ananda. So as long as the nama rupa is there, we get a little bit of sukha. But sukha also comes along with dukkha. Therefore, when conditions are suitable, then we are happy. Conditions are unchanged, then we are unhappy. Don't you see? See, you go to some place and some nice curry is prepared. It's beautiful, tasty. But is there any guarantee that the same taste will come throughout your life? The same person may prepare, don't you see? Every day the change tastes subtly. One day, that's why you know it's a wonderful thing to know. Sometime you go to some place, they will prepare some nice dish. You will remember it whole life. Ekono mukhe lege ache. Even now, it is as though the taste is lingering on the. But after that, very rarely it occurs. We eat, but it is not exactly like that. Yeah. That is the experience we have. So what Yajnavalkya is telling is, try to love the self. He is not saying do not love. He is saying you are loving. Your nature is to love. Your nature is to receive love. So let me also explain this point, very interesting point, because here is a table. You know the essence of the table is wood. If you love the wood, then the wood always returns your love. Because it can be in any state, with nama rupa, without also nama rupa. There is no destruction. But if you love the nama rupa, then there is a point when it is, there is a point when it is not, changes. Changeable things means what? Love changes into what? Hatred. Hatred means, love means what? Ananda. Ananda changes into? Okay. So we all want ananda. Is there any controversy about it? Therefore, if we want complete happiness, eternal, infinite happiness, so we have to shift our attention from the nama rupa to the essence. He is not saying, don't love the, let not the wife love the husband, let not the husband love the wife, he's telling, you love him more. You love him permanently. Your love should be eternal. How is it possible? Let me illustrate this. You know, Holy Mother, naturally, she loved Sri Ramakrishna. So, she wants to see. But what did she... There are two elements in Sri Ramakrishna. The essence and the Namarupa. Naturally, she also loved the Namarupa too. But when he passed away, so was he separate? So she was grief-stricken for a moment. Oh, this Ramakrishna is gone. Then he immediately appeared. See, he was also terribly afraid. She may not love me. Now that Namarupa is gone, out of sight, out of mind. Immediately he came and said, no, I have not gone anywhere. From this room to the other room. From that point onwards, Holy Mother has no real grief. Because there is no separation. Even this separation of Namarupa is also gone. That is the teaching Yajnavalkya has given. So the condition of love, or the love of the self, three conditions we said, three characteristics we said. What were those? It is first of all inborn. Secondly, it is universal. Universal means I, you, everybody. Who doesn't want to love? Or to put it in better terms, who doesn't want happiness? And the third, what was the third?
Unconditional.
The, so conditioning belongs to what? Changeableness applies to what? To the Namarupa, not the self. This was what he was trying to tell, that if you love me as a husband, then you will be grief-stricken. If you love me as self, then you can enjoy Namarupa as long as it is there. You can also love me when with Namarupa, without Namarupa also. There would be no break. The Namarupa will not create any break because the essence is always the essence. That was what we had seen. Now to emphasize this point further, and this passage might look a little bit negative, so he is coming in a positive terms in the next. Brahmatam paradadyo anyatra atmano brahmaveda. Kshatram tam paradadyo anyatra atmana kshatram veda. Lokahtam paradaryo anyatra atmano lokan veda. Devahtam paradaryo anyatra atmano devan veda. Bhutani tam paradaryo anyatra atmano bhutani veda. Sarvam tam paradadyo anyatra atmana sarvam veda. Idam brahma, idam kshatram, ime loka, ime deva, imani bhutan, idam sarvam yat ayam atma. There are two paragraphs. In this one passage, there are two paragraphs. So the last paragraph starts with ime loka. So what is he telling in the first part of this paragraph? He is telling, let me read the translation. The Brahmana rejects him. Who knows the Brahmana to be different from the self? Let me explain, then we will proceed. Because it applies to the other thing. If I know you are a man, you are not the self, then you will instantaneously reject me. See, if I know you as the self, you won't reject me. If I know you as other than the self, what is the other than the self? Namarupa. Another name for this other than the self is called, you see, what is the opposite of sukha? What is the opposite of shubha? So what is the opposite of atma? Anatma. What is Namarupa? Anatma. Atma, anatma. So if I know that you are not the self, then you will reject me also. I will come to that point later. And then, so he says, you know, this Kshatriya rejects him, who knows the Kshatriya to be different from the self. Worlds reject him, who knows worlds to be different from the self. The gods reject him, who knows the gods to be different from the self. Beings reject him, who knows beings to be different from the self. All rejects him, who knows all the things to be different from the self. That is the first part of the paragraph. The second part is, this Brahmana, this Kshatriya, these worlds, these gods, these beings, and this all are only the self. A bubble, where from does it come? From the ocean. Where does it live? In the ocean. And where does it merge back again? Into the ocean. Can the bubble ever live or can be separated from the water? So what happens if the ocean rejects and tells you go away? Then what happens to that bubble? It doesn't exist anymore. So non-existence doesn't exist. That is the idea. Non-existence doesn't exist. So this question of separating, rejecting doesn't arise at all. What Agnivalka is telling is that everything is nothing but self. Then what is this Nama-Rupa? Is it Anatma? Does such an animal called Anatma ever exist? Is something called Nama-Rupa ever exist? It doesn't exist. Yet, we, because of the adhyasa, superimposition, think that there is no self accepting Nama-Rupa. But there is a subtle point there. What is the subtle point? I will come to that later on. First, if any person knows this Brahmana, it could be anything, you know, this man, is not the self, that person will reject him. Why? So how many selves are there?
One.
Only one. So the moment I say you are not the self, what have you become? Anatma. So how many things are there now?
Two.
Two. I am the self, you are the non-self. See the fun of it. This is not verbal gymnastics. The moment I say you exist, the first thing that happens is that if you are anatma, for you, what am I?
Anatma
only. So the moment everybody rejects the anatma only. The self cannot reject the self. It is only the self which can reject. What can it reject? Anatma. Or one anatma can reject the anatma. One non-existence can reject the non-existence. Can such a thing happen? How beautiful it is. So, if the self is one, to imagine that there are two selves, that is called illusion. Your imagination, why is it called illusion? Because illusion has no existence at all. So therefore, it is impossible for me to reject anything because I only exist. If I reject you, whom am I really rejecting?
Myself.
But that cannot happen because to reject something, I must be there. If I am not there, who is going to reject you? That is the most wonderful truth this Upanishad is telling, that for some reason, we don't know why, we see something other than the self. So when we are not seeing the self, that means what are we seeing? Some non-self. Right? Not right really, because how can a non-self, which has no existence at all, see something else? No. What does it mean? So this is where Sri Ramakrishna's example comes to our mind. Just imagine, you're all sitting, do this experiment. Simple experiment, you do this. So those who are at the back, You are able to see all the people that are sitting in front? All of you able to see? Whoever is in front of you, right? Put your finger like this and see. Just put your finger. How much are you able to see? Only that much? That is what is called anatma. So anatma is not experiencing non-existence. Anatma is experiencing as though instead of seeing the whole thing, we are seeing only little and saying this is all that exists. Nothing besides this exists. So this truth has been told to us in a beautiful way by Sri Ramakrishna. What did he say? Imagine there is a huge open space. And when you get to the top of a high place, a mountain or something, how much you can see? Miles and miles and miles. Imagine there is a curtain in front of you. Imagine there is a small hole in the curtain. How much can you see? So if you think that is all that exists outside, you are still seeing, you are not seeing anything else other than the open space. But where is the mistake? You are seeing a small part of that open space. And if you identify that small bit which you are able to see, that is called anatma. See the point? So, I will also give you another viewpoint. Okay, then you will understand it better. This is the first point. What is the first point? When we see a vast space, vast something, with an instrument which can only show little, then identifying what little we can see through that small instrument as everything, as the only thing that exists, that is called anatma. Why is it? This point has to be made very clear. If something is non-existing, where is the question of seeing it or experiencing it? It's not possible. But then what is this anatma so many times we come across? Or you say the opposite of sukha is dukkha. Does such an animal exist, dukkha? So does such an animal called sukha exist? Doesn't. What is meant? Less happiness is dukkha. Less dukkha is happiness. Less light is darkness. Less darkness is light. See how wonderful this point. So to illustrate this, this highest truth, Sri Ramakrishna gives another example. Four blind men were asked to describe an elephant. You know that story, that parable? So each one is touching one part of the elephant. And what are they laboring under? Elephant means only this much, nothing else. Were they wrong? Partly, 50% right, 50% wrong. What they are describing as elephant, 50% it is the elephant. What is wrong? Just not able to see the whole, but only to be able to see the one small bit. That is called Maya. That is called Maya. So, the second point we have to understand is that what we call Maya is not unreal. What is unreal then? We use the word Maya, we use the word illusion. Every illusion must be based upon some reality. So, you see water in the mirage. There must be desert to be able to see the desert. So, how does this analogy work? You are walking in the desert, then you see this, suddenly you are thirsty, and then you see the mirage. And then you mistake, there is a vast lake of body of water. But imagine, you try to go near, you will never reach it. After some time, some wise person comes and tells, this is not water, it is your imagination. Once we understand, it is a mistaken understanding in our mind, then what happens? Would you cease seeing the mirrors?
No.
See, it still appears to you, but you will not be running after it any longer. So, this is the one point you have to note. The other point is, where is the desert? Out there. Where is this mirage?
In the mind.
Our mind.
Mind.
So, where is the problem?
In
our mind. What is the way to remove the problem?
Knowledge.
So, you have headache. No, it is partly correct answer. You have a headache. So, what is the source, origin of the headache?
Head.
What is the way to remove the headache?
Oh, no.
A temporary way is an acid. But a permanent way is? Yes, I'm not joking. Therefore, as long as we have the body and mind, we cannot help, because as long as you put your hand like this, you cannot claim you see the whole thing. If you want to see the whole thing, what is the way? Remove your hand. Direct experience, darshana, pratyaksha. So that is the adhyasa. Is first point is adhyasa is based upon reality. Adhyasa is seeing the reality through a limited instrument and mistaking it for the whole of the reality. And even the part of the reality is not also an illusion, that is also reality. So the mistake is not seeing the part. The mistake is thinking that the part is the whole of the reality. And so, what are we talking about? How long can you see a form? As long as there are eyes. How long can you hear sounds? As long as you have ears. How many sense organs we have?
Five.
So therefore, until we transcend the five, remove these five instruments, we continue still to see the reality in the form of forms, sounds, tastes, touches and smells. There is no other way. This is what is telling. Here is a form. The wife sees a form. Not only the wife sees the form of her husband, but she also sees herself. When she looks at herself, what does she see? A form. So as long as we are living in this colored glass houses of body and mind, how does the reality appear to us?
Name and form.
Name and form. There is no other way. You cannot get out of it. That is why the real truth is avam manasa gocharam, beyond speech and beyond the mind. This is what he wanted to tell. It is not negative at all. Once you know that this water I see is a mirage, then what happens, you know? You love the mirage. Why you love it? It's so beautiful. You are not seeing any water, but you are seeing water. You know that it is not no water, even though you are seeing it. What a wonderful thing it is. Yeah. See, why do people go to see cinema? Because an illusion is most marvelous. If you know that illusion to be reality, then you are in trouble. But if you know that it appears almost real, but not real, you see, dvaitam advaitadapi sundaram. Illusion is, even that's why you know, you see, don't blame me. You see, his wife, appears very beautiful in the photograph. Have you noticed it? Why do you think they put photographs? When the wife is the side, why do they put the photograph? For two things. She appears very beautiful, more beautiful in the photograph than in reality. The second day, she never changes in the photograph. It is true. Always smiling, you know, how wonderful it is. So this is what Yajnavalkya is teaching. Get rid of your blinkers. What are those blinkers? So, these points I am repeating so that they will stick in our mind. Where is the world? What do we mean by world? What do you mean by creation? What do you mean by husband? Husband is part of the creation. Wife is part of the creation. Brahmana, Kshatriya, trees, plants, rats, mice, all this. What is it? Part of? Including gods. Including God. The highest concept of the impersonal through the mind is called God. Personal God we call it. Brahma, Vishnu, Christ, God, Allah, whatever you call, name you call it. It is still limited. It is the highest, but still it is limited because, not because God is limited, because our view is, our instrument is limited. This is a point which we have to understand very clearly. Once we understand that point, so wonderful change comes over us. What change? We love this illusion because it is so beautiful. But only, it is beautiful only, you know, there is some plastic snake. You know, nice plastic snake, motorized plastic snakes. Marvelous. Oh, it will do like this, it is moving like this, take a child there, even you will be afraid. It's exactly like you. Has anyone of you seen? I have seen it 30 years back when I was young, very young. Yes, it is, you know, it is made out of some rubber or plastic or something.
In India? Yes.
India is the headquarters of all these Mahamas.
Huh?
They borrowed it from us. They bought the whole company, lock, stock and barrel, and installed it in New York. It originated in India. So, this view is also, I told you, you know, in Detroit, I went to a devotee's house, there was a bird. Did I tell you? Joseph?
Yeah.
You know, there is a bird. It is not an ordinary bird. It is a bird, whatever you say, he goes on repeating. You are bad. He immediately starts, you are bad, you are bad, you are bad. There is a recording machine. Or you say, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. It goes on telling us. This is the world. So what is the world? The highest reality viewed to the limiting instruments of the body-mind complex is what is called world. There is nothing called world outside. What is there, outside or inside? It is only one reality. This is the truth he was trying to tell. Why is he trying to tell? Because we all want happiness. How much happiness do you want?
Infinite.
So, it's infinite happiness and eternal happiness. So, if you want happiness, what is the condition? You will have to make everything dear to you. How can anything become dear to you? When you love, then it becomes dear to you. How can you love when you think it is not the self? If you can say, this is self. There is no friend, there is no enemy, there is no sukha, there is no dukkha, everything is nothing but Brahman. Then what happens? If you love, that is the meaning of saying everything is Brahma, not simply saying sarvam kalvidam Brahma, sarvam kalvidam Brahma. That is not the way of saying. To say that everything is God, if you really mean, if you really understand what you mean, what you say, and mean what you say, how can you not love God? God comes, suppose, in the form of a friend. Will you love him or not? God comes putting on the dress of an enemy. Once you know, when you don't know he is God, then you will hate him. What are you saying? This is not God, this is an enemy. Once you say this is, once you, he takes off the dress, he doesn't, then put it on. After that, you go, what do? You go on. You know, a circus had come to a town. So it was going on. And there was a, what is called, a small baby bear. Somehow it became sick. A bear had become sick. So the circus manager was, you know, this show has to go on. So he went to somebody and said, do you want to earn some money? He said, yes, you put on this bear dress and enter into the cage. So he entered into the cage. He was happy to get, you know, he was very happy. Then, you know, suddenly a tiger jumped into the cage. This fellow was frightened to death. Tiger came near and said, don't worry, I was also being this whole world show is nothing but God in different masks. This is the truth. Though we do not, as long as we do not know it, we suffer. We make something which is harmless, which gives us happiness, we go near it. That which seems to be harming us, then we try to run away from it, distance ourselves from it. But once we come to know, this is nothing but God or my own self in different forms, then which one would you reject? Can you reject anything? That is called Jivan Mukti. That is what Bhagavad Gita we said, Vidya Vinay Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastin Shunichaiva Shvapakeja Panditaha Samadarshinaha Ashochyanan Ashochestum Pragnavadam Sebashase Gatasu Nagatasum Nanushochendi Pandita. What is life and death? You put a mask and make movements, that is called life. You remove the mask and then fall down dead, that is called death. There was a drama going on. There was one fellow, actor, he was to be shot dead. And then he was shot and he immediately felt, like that. The audience was enraptured by the play. Said, encore, encore. Immediately jumped up. He was shot a second time. Remember encore story?
Yes.
Very nice. Which one?
Till you get it right.
Joseph, you remember? Mm. So there was some nice singers were singing on a stage. There was one local singer who never got any opportunity. He begged and begged until he said, all right, sing one song. So he got up onto the stage very happy and sang. The whole audience started, encore, encore, encore. So he repeated, encore, encore, encore. 5 times he sang. Then he said, I was tired and I appreciate your appreciation. I'm so happy and I'm tired. He said, damn well you sing until you do it right. So, this is the highest truth he is telling, So having said this, if you reject something, means if you try to see a part of somebody, then you will not get the whole truth. That will create problems. And that is what really causes problems to all of us. You know, one day you go to the office and your boss shouts at you. Normally he doesn't, but one day he shouts at you. Will it not cause pain to you? Then you say, oh, this fellow is a bad fellow. But if you know the whole truth, something tremendous tragedy has taken place, somebody robbed his house, he had severe losses, and then he came in that mood, he couldn't control himself, and then he shouted at you. Once you know the truth, what would you feel like? You would not be angry with him, you would rather go and try to help him. Is it not truth? This teaching was given by Swami Swahanandaji. I was very much impressed. You know, one person was walking in a lane. Another fellow who was sitting there, he started following him and abusing him, trying to throw stones and all those things. Naturally, this person got very angry. And he was about to, you know, even beat him. At that time, another person who was standing near witnessing the whole thing came and said, see, brother, don't get angry. Don't you know, his wife died a few days back, and ever since his mind has become deranged. This is what he is doing. The moment you hear this, not only you will not be angry with that person, you will go and try to console him, help him. We do not do that. Who wants anyone to get to become mad? So this is our condition. If you only see a part of the person, either body or the personality or the qualities, as due to any circumstances, then you will. If the response or reaction was good, then you love. If the response is bad, then you will hate. You undergo sukha dukha. But if you know this is God Himself coming and playing. Let me give this illustration also. Supposing you are a cricket fan and two parties are playing against each other and you are fan of one side. So if your side is about to win, you are very happy. If the other side is about to win, you are very unhappy. Supposing that you know you have lots of cricketer friends. So one day, all are dear friends to you. One day there is a friendly match between these two. So would you appreciate only one side? Whichever side wins, you will be happy because you know, first of all, it is only a friendly match, and secondly, all the winning and losing are all among friends only. Your reaction is totally different. But if you consider one as your party, you are fan of one side and you are a hater of the other side, then there is going to be trouble. So if you want no trouble, you want to enjoy everything, then what is the way? You witness the game. So extend this analogy and say, one day God comes to you, wants to play with you, and if you don't know, then he is, you know, beating you down, then you will be unhappy. Suppose you know Ramakrishna comes and then he is beating you down. Would you be happy or unhappy? The more he beats you down, the more peace. So is it a right illustration? You may think. Krishna, you know, he carried his father's sandals. He made his mother go round and round, and at last he allowed himself to be bound. You know that Mother Yashoda bound him. But he made her work very hard for him. So, it is Leela. This is called Leela. Because if we don't know, it is reality. It's a fact. if you know, instantaneously it will turn into Leela. What is Leela? There is Sukha and Dukkha are both drama. Is victory and defeat, both are, profit and loss, both are drama. Everything is a drama. To put it, let me put it, you know, to drive this point into you. Suppose there is a father. Suppose he has two sons and they are all living together. And one day the sons come and say, "Dad, let us divide this business into three parts. You one part, we two brothers into one part." But they are all living together. They all put their money into the same one account. So, one of the sons is doing extremely well. And then, and competing against the other brother, everybody is buying everything from that, from the one brother's company only. But will the father be angry? Will the brother be angry? Because all the money is coming and falling into only one account. Whether he is earning profit or the other fellow is earning profit, all the profit is only falling into one account only. So this is what Yajnavalkya is teaching to us now, that as long as we have body and mind, what you see, first he said, is anatma. He rejects. You don't love him, that means you are dividing into two. This is me, the self, you are not the self. The moment you say you are not the self, then for you, I am not the self. That was how I started. But the next step is, there is no existence for non-self. Therefore, it must be only one self seen as reflection. And therefore, there is nothing to grieve. What a marvelous thing it is. So this is what the teaching is given. In the earlier passage, it is telling, nobody loves anything other than self. What is the reason? After telling the whole Ramayana,
all the selves are
one.
Because that's all there is.
The love itself is the self.
Yes.
Love itself is the self.
Yes. Come to the point.
Happiness.
What is the point? That is not the point. What is the point? If there is something called non-self, then the question of not loving or not loving arises. If there is only one self, where is the question of not loving? It is impossible. You may think this is not existing. But when something is existing, how can you say it is non-existing? There is no non-self. If there is no non-self, there is never any question of not loving anybody. We are only loving everything as the self only. But why then this misery? What is this misery? When you have less knowledge of the self, that is what is called dukkha. When you have more knowledge of the self, that is called sukha. When this perfect knowledge of the self, that is called ananda. This is the truth. So, in this he is telling that if you reject, how can you reject? You cannot reject. So, because you don't exist, who can I reject when you don't exist? Then, what am I rejecting? I am covering my own knowledge in part. I am dividing myself as it were into two. One part I accept, the other part I reject. Do you catch my point? When there is no self, when there is no non-self, where is the question of you are saying, I reject you?
Maharaj, I think the problem is with the term non-self.
Yes.
It is not non-self, it is partial self.
Yes. That is what meant, Namarupa means, partly seeing the whole of the reality in part. That's why I explained. So having explained, I am using the term again to say, even from that point of view also, the question of rejecting doesn't arise. But that is what seems to happen because of the ignorance we have. The point is, you get rid of the beam in your eye, don't try to get rid of the small thing in the other persons. That is the idea. There is no non-self at all. That is what he is affirming it here. Idam Kshem Brahma. Brahma means here, not Brahma. Brahma means here, Brahmana. Idam Kshatram means this Kshatriya. Ime Loka, these worlds. Ime Deva, these gods. Imani Bhutani, these beings. Idam Sarva means whatever I experience through the body and mind. Yet I am Atma. This is nothing but the self. This is the ultimate teaching. This teaching will not sink into our minds unless we also fulfill conditions like Maitreyi. Otherwise, our understanding would also remain partial. So, how beautifully Sri Ramakrishna illustrates this from a practical point of view. Mahat Narayana. The Narayana, the who controls the elephant. Guru taught the disciple, everything is God. One day the disciple was going and he heard the shout, there is a mad elephant, run away. And he thought, Guru taught me everything is God, so why should I run away? So he stood there and then the elephant kicked him and then he was injured. Then he was taken, why did you not run away? No, it is you are the root cause of all my problems. Because you only taught me that everything is God. The Guru said, my child, I am not the root cause of your problems. The root cause of your problem is you. Because, yes, the elephant is God, but the Mahat is also God. So, what was he telling?
Run away.
Run away. Why did you not listen to him? Yes, that is from the practical point of view. From our level point of view. But the highest, when we attain to the highest, the other story comes into existence. Meaningful. What is the other story? One monk went to beg in a village. A rich man was beating a poor man mercilessly. The monk who witnessed it, his heart was melted. Then he goes near, he interferes. The wrath of the rich man turned onto this monk. He beat him unconscious. They carried him to the monastery, and slowly he was coming back to consciousness. Somebody started pouring a little bit of milk into him, and then he was asked, do you recognize the one who is pouring milk into you? He says, yes, it is the same one who has bet me. He is pouring milk again. That is at a higher level. So the idea is, we understand the same teaching depending upon at what level we are. We have to be practical. But to begin with, everything is God. Enemy also is God. And what we call friend is also God. And because the enemy and the friend doesn't exist outside. It exists within us. But when you go to the highest state, there is no friend, there is no enemy, everything is God. Okay. So, now he is telling, what was he? Everything is the self. So, everything means, what do we mean by everything? Okay, let me give the illustration. Here is a bubble. The bubble came out from where? From the water. And how does it sustain? Through the water. And where does it go back? Into the water. What is this process? Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. So, we are seeing this world. So, where from this world has come? From Brahma. Where is it? We are living, getting sustained? In Brahma. And where does it go back? Even this terminology, coming and sustaining and going back, is also from our viewpoint. Nothing has come out in your dream, you know. So you see ghost. So where from the ghost come out?
Mind.
Have I mailed it to you from UK? It came from your mind. What sustains it?
Mind.
Your mind. And where does it go back when you wake up? It goes back into the mind. That is the idea. We are seeing the world. This world is like a dream. Everything. So, but where from it has come? From Brahman. Where does it live? Because is there anything outside Brahman? And therefore it must live in Brahman. Where does it go back? So what is the essence of this world? What did you say?
Brahman.
The essence of this world is nothing but Brahman viewed through this body and mind complex is what we call the world. Let us get rid of one problem and come back to further. So as I said, where is the world? Is it outside or is it inside?
Inside.
It's inside me. So therefore, what do I need to do to get rid of it? Do I destroy the world? How do I destroy the world? I have to destroy that misunderstanding, partial understanding. So how can partial understanding be destroyed? By getting complete understanding. So to put it in simple words, this world has come from God and it is sustained by God and it goes back to God. This point he wants to clarify. See, the highest truth has been told. Now the next step is you are here, that is the highest truth. You have to do sadhana, spiritual practice. So he is coming, that what is the coming? Says, what is the essence of this world?
Brahman.
How do I know? He is giving three illustrations. What are these illustrations? The sound of a drum, the sound of a conch, and the sound of a veena. Apart from the teaching, one simple fact also we come to know through these three verses. What is the fact? These Upanishads are supposed to have been taught 5-6 thousand years back. So there was some instrument called drum, there was an instrument called conch, there was also an instrument called veena. This is just for your kid. Otherwise he would not have given the illustrations. Okay, coming back, it is very simple. I would just give you the essence. What he says, supposing you hear some sound. Somebody is beating the mridanga, this drum. You hear the sound? Somebody is blowing a conch. You hear the sound? Somebody is playing the veena. You hear the sound? How many sounds are you hearing?
Three.
How many sounds are you hearing? Three. That means what? You have distinguished that these sounds are not from one but from three different sources. Otherwise you would never have been able to distinguish these three. You would only hear some one generalized sound. So you, as soon as you hear, immediately what do you say? You hear the drum, that is the sound of the drum. As soon as you hear the veena, that is the sound of the veena. As soon as you hear this conch, that is the sound of the conch. This is the first point you have to understand. You are clearly able to distinguish this sound, this sound, this sound as separate, belonging to three different instruments. Is that point clear?
Yes.
Okay. Now let us take the example of veena and extend the same example to the other two. Veena has got its own peculiar sound. A harmonium has got its own peculiar sound. Say veena here. So in the veena, he sa re ga ma pa tha ni sa. Suppose somebody is playing these notes. So when he says sa, immediately, no, this is sa. When he says is ga, what is the third note? Ga. What is the sixth note? What are these two? So, sa re ga ma pa dha ni. Right? So, sarigama patha ni, seven sounds. When he strikes the note sa, when he strikes the sound ri, ga, ma, pa, dha, ni, you are clearly able to distinguish seven notes. So, now how many sounds are you hearing?
Seven,
two more. No. Two separate pieces of knowledge is entering into your mind. The one is the general, sa also belongs to Veena, the ri also belongs to Veena, the ga also belongs to the Veena, etc. Even though you are able to distinguish sarigama padhani, you know that all of them belong to only one instrument. Right?
Yes.
Now, without knowing what is the general sound of the Veena, can you say this is a sa of the Veena, this is the ri of the Veena?
No.
You will not be able to distinguish. So what is the essence of all these seven notes?
Veena.
The sound of the
Veena.
Through this illustration, he is telling us what is the essence of the world. In the world, this is just an illustration. In the Veena, there are, you know, different levels again. The lower level, the middle level, then the higher level. Usually every instrument has got these levels. Tara, Sapta, and the Nimna Sapta, etc. Right? This is only just for the sake of illustration to make the point clear. The real point is, what is the nature of the world? So what is the essence of the world? Essence means what? If the essence is removed, the essence of any object is that when you remove that essence, nothing remains. Everything disappears. So, what is the essence of the table?
Wood.
If you remove the wood, nama rupa will be destroyed. But if you remove the nama rupa, then the wood still remains. Keep this in mind. Come back to this point. So we see in this world, how many objects?
Infinite.
Almost infinite. And all these infinite objects can be classified into five categories. All the infinite objects of the world, there are only five types of objects in this world, not infinite. What are those five? Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Five. Because the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue and the skin. All the objects of the world, let there be infinite number. How many objects are there really? Forms, sounds, smells, tastes and touches. Nothing else. Everything else is a little bit different, difference between one and the other. That's some small, some big. Some less, some more, thick, thin, these are all the different. Otherwise, it is the same. Keep this point in mind. What is the essence of all these five types of objects?
Self.
It is self. How do we know? You remove the Veena, then will there be any sarigama padanisa sound? You remove the, there is something. So, what is the essence of sarigama padanisa?
Veena.
So, if the Veena is there, it can be there without sarigama padanisa. But if sarigama padanisa cannot be there without the Veena, if the wood is not there, this table will not be there. But namarupa can be removed, still the wood will be there. Keep this point in mind. Now come back. What is the essence of this world? The self. What is the nature of the self? Consciousness. How do we know? Because when you are in deep sleep, does the world exist for you or not?
No.
So when you come back to waking state, does the world exist for you or not?
Yes.
So then, what is it that makes the world and the world non-world? If you are not aware of it, the whole world will disappear. Is it not a fact?
Mm.
If you are aware of the aware, if you are conscious, then the whole world exists. So what is the essence of the world?
Consciousness.
What a beautiful way of trying to make us realize the self is, because if the self means consciousness. If the consciousness is not there, nothing is there. So what does this consciousness mean? It means three things. What are those three things? The moment you say, I am, if that I am is not there, you are also not there. What is the next thing? Chit. Chit means what? That I am aware that I am. So if I am there, but I am in deep sleep, then would I be conscious of anything? No. So that means only when I am aware that I am, can I recognize that you also are, nothing else. What is the third thing? Ananda. What is Ananda means bliss, apart from sukha dukkha. But I will give the example of sukha dukkha. So if I am happy, how do I look upon you? And if I am unhappy, how do I look upon you? So your my happiness from you or the other person depends upon whom? That means existence of the world, awareness of the world, and experience of the world depends upon what? Pure consciousness. So therefore, without this consciousness, world doesn't exist. But without the world, this consciousness exists. Therefore, what is the essence of this world? What a beautiful way of summarizing. See, you know, it is come to think of it. It is only Shravana. You have to think of it. Then you know what happens. What is this discussion? Is it dry discussion? The fact that we realize, understand immediately is that the world exists because of my existence. The world is recognized because of my recognition. And my recognition takes place in the form of memory. You see, if you lose memory, who is a husband, who is a wife, who am I? If you lose your memory, suppose you know, suddenly you lost your memory. Somebody comes and asks, who are you? What would be your answer?
I don't know.
You don't know what you are. It happens, you know, some real cases happen like that. How wonderful this, you know, fact of memory. Anyway, the point is, I am the self, which is I am, is the essence of this whole universe, whether you are in this loka, or in Patala, or go to the highest heaven, what is the essence? Pure consciousness is the essence, which consists of existence and knowledge and experience. Please, this is the truth. I don't need to go into the three examples. These are three verses, but this is the essence of these three verses. Okay. Now, having said this is the essence, the question comes again, where from the world has come? So, to make this point, the world has come from pure consciousness. It is sustained by pure consciousness and it again merges back into pure consciousness. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. He gives further example. Let me complete one. So, he says that as various kinds of smoke proceed from a fire kindled with damp fuel. You have damp fuel and you light it up. What is it that fills your room?
Smoke.
There, like that, even so, my dear Maitri, the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharva, history, mythology, arts, Upanishads, mantra verses, aphorisms, elucidations, explanations, are the breath, as it were, of this limitless reality. They are like the breath of it alone. It means
consciousness.
Pure consciousness, Atman alone. What is the point he is telling? They are like the breath. The whole creation is considered like the breath of the Divine. This beautiful statement has been illustrated in the Puranas through the story of Markandeya Rishi. There was this Rishi called Markandeya. He was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So where does the Lord Vishnu live? Under a banyan tree on the edge of the ocean, is one version. So Markandeya went there. Oh, the Lord was sleeping. And a sleeping man also breathes. If he doesn't breathe. Yeah. So as soon as he went near, you know what happened? The in-breath of the Lord sucked him into himself. Then he found himself on the shores of a ocean. And under the banyan, there was a banyan tree on the shore of the ocean. Under the banyan tree, Lord Vishnu was sleeping and breathing. And again, this Markandeya found himself sucked, second time. And then he entered, found another ocean, another banyan tree. The Brahma Chakra was going on, indicating thereby that the whole universe within the universe within the universe within the universe within the universe, Bhul Bhulaiya. This is called Lakno Bhul Bhulaiya. The similar incident happened in the life of Mother Yashoda. And Krishnaya opened his mouth and said that I have not eaten mud. Why do you believe other people's? Then why don't you look into my mouth? And what did she see? She found herself that, you know, she entered into, she said, look, there is another world, and in that world there was a planet, Earth. The planet Earth, there was this Vrindavana. The Vrindavana, there was a Mother Yashoda. The Mother Yashoda had a Krishna, and the Krishna was opening his mouth. Mother Yashoda looked into it, and she found. So what is the illustration for? Everything has a significance. Here what he is telling is, so unless you have asthma problem, breathing is the most natural thing in the world. Nobody, you know, suffers from this. It is, you don't even take notice of breathing until you start suffering from asthmatic problem or allergy problem. Is it not? So what is being told is, so these are the three points that we have to. The first thing is, creation is as easy as the breathing, in breathing and out breath of the Lord. Right? The second point is that which is in breath, what happens next? Breathing consists of taking air in and expelling. So, Srishti, the air stays there for some time, then it is expelled. What is that expellation?
Laya.
Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. Constantly is taking inside, keeping it for a short time, and expelling. Again taking it inside, keeping for some time, and expelling. This Srishti, Sthiti, Laya is going on constantly. Cyclic way, it is going on. The third point, again the same point he is telling. The point is, this: what does he breathe? What does the Divine Lord breathe? When there is only Brahman, what else does he breathe?
Brahman
only. This is the point. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, go on. This is the process. That is what he is telling here. That as various kinds of smoke proceed from a fire, you know, the fire comes. Like that, easily this Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharveda. What is this Samaveda, Atharveda? A beautiful calico-bound book called Rigveda has immediately come out of him. What does Rigveda mean? Rigveda. What does it, Rigveda consist of? What is Veda?
Knowledge.
What is this whole world? Nothing but knowledge. To understand this point, we have to think of a dream. So you go to sleep, you have a dream. In the dream, you see this world. You go to a supermarket, you see it, all varieties of objects, right? Are those objects concrete objects? Or are these nothing but various manifestations of your thoughts? What are those objects? Nothing but thoughts. What are thoughts? Nothing but? Knowledge. Is it not right? Therefore, what is this world? It is nothing but? So this statement is true, not only from the Upanishadic point of view, from purely scientific point of view. Do you see me? Are you seeing me? Really? I'm surprised. You don't see me. What do you see? You know, when you are watching a cricket play on the TV, what are you really watching? What is it that you are watching?
Just the
form. See, if there is a form, there is a name. Names and forms. What are they? Are they real concrete objects?
No.
What are they? Just sensations, information in the form of various objects. So, is it not true? When you are looking at me, when I am looking at you, what is it that I get? The information that goes through the eye is called form. The information that goes through the nose is. So what is it? Who are you? I don't know who you are. I only know my knowledge about you. Is it not a wonderful fact? Nothing but information. First raw information goes. This is what is called, what is it? Collation or what you call? Collated. Harmonized by the mind. It collates all the five different things, makes it a harmonization, but wonderful harmonization, and it then it tells this is the form, this is the sound, etc. So it is nothing but information. See, wonderful how this subject IT is all nothing but information technology. Yesterday we heard that three-dimensional sound is nothing but manipulation of sounds. It is nothing but information. Manipulate the information. So, what is he telling? The whole universe is nothing but knowledge. And what is this Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, mythologies and what are all those things? Nothing but information. Now, don't take it as concrete objects or books. It is nothing but information, thoughts. Let me put it as thoughts. Information in the form of thoughts. Where from these thoughts are coming? From Brahman. They are coming. The information comes out of Brahman. And where does it go?
Brahman.
Goes back to Brahman. So therefore, the whole universe, what we call the world or whatever, Srishti, creation, is nothing but information coming out from Brahman, and it appears as concrete objects, that is also information, and again it goes back into Brahman as information. Therefore, from pure consciousness, consciousness manifests in the form of Namarupa, and the Namarupa again gets dissolved and goes back into Brahman. This is the most beautiful description I can have, any scripture can give you. We will stop today, and what happens later on, this is the process of creation. Then after creation comes what? Sustenance. After that comes what?
Life.
That's what he is going to describe and wrap up the whole wonderful teaching with a beautiful illustration. We will conclude it tomorrow. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Viryam Karavavahe Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastu Vidvishavahe Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ram Krishna Namaste.